Welcome visitors, welcome all of you to the service this morning. And a couple of months ago, sometime last year, I don't know if you remember, Kuba spoke about stinking thinking. I don't know if any one of you remember that sermon. And these last couple of months, God's really been challenging my heart regarding my priorities as a Christian. And what is important for me in my daily walk with the Lord? And you know, it's funny, it always comes back to your thought life, doesn't it? And I just want to share 4 points with you this morning about our thought lives. And if we could, Bennett, just stick up the opening slide. What I'm going to be sharing with you this morning is a topic called Think About What You Think About. Thinking about what you think about. Are we good to go? There we go. Amen. And, you know, so many times we get misconstrued in our thoughts about things, or our thoughts run away with us. Sometimes people say, oh, fleeting thoughts, you're overthinking, you know, all those things. But I want us to go a little bit deeper this morning, because not just stinking thinking, but what the devil tries to do, he gets to come and try and convince us that our thinking, our thought life, is not substantive enough and cannot achieve anything. Quite the contrary. So he goes down the road of sinking thinking. So can we just play that quick clip? It's a couple of seconds long. Just a little bit of humor to get the
preach off this morning. Das hier ist das wichtigste Gerät des Küstenwächters. Das Gerät, das Gerät. Überlebensradar.
Mayday, mayday. Hello, can you hear us? Can you hear us? Can you... Okay, over. We are sinking. We are sinking.
Hello? This is the German Coast Guard.
We are sinking. We're sinking.
What are you thinking about?
So the overall overriding question this morning is, what are you thinking about? You know, there was a study done a couple of years ago through the Stanford University, where they said that the average human being has 60,000 thoughts a day. Sure, 60,000 thoughts. We can't even think that much. Anyway, of those 60,000 thoughts, 90% of them are repetitive. They've been carried over from the previous few days of worrying and anxiety and all those kind of things. Oh, you got me. Okay. And in the day, we're thinking about work. We're thinking about our children. There's so many thoughts that goes on in our minds. The Bible teaches us many things about our thoughts. We know in Proverbs, lots of scriptures, Psalms. We're going to look at quite a bit of scripture this morning, because I really believe the word is going to illuminate some really important things for you about your thought life. So let's go to Philippians 4 verse 8. This is the overriding scripture, really, about what God expects of us in our choosing of what to think about and how to think about the things that we face every single day. What I like about Philippians 4 is it speaks, well, first of all, Paul is commending these ladies for their faithfulness. And he goes on to speak about the peace in verse 7, the peace that surpasses all human understanding, that will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And if there's one thing we need in our lives today is peace. Because our lives are so busy, our thoughts are overridden with so many negative things, that Paul comes to the place where he says, but finally, brothers, finally. In other words, all encompassing, what we really need to focus on is this. Whatever is true, In other words, the word of God brings truth. Our relationship with God is filled with the truth that he loves you and he cares about you. Whatever is honorable, that there's honor in right living. There's honor in giving God glory in our lives every day. Whatever is just. There's so much wrong going on in the world today and so little right. Whatever is pure. Wow, our world is corrupt. We get corrupted. Our thoughts get corrupted. Whatever is lovely. Let's go take a walk outside. I was on the beach this last week. I was taking a long walk the one morning. Man, there's a lot of loveliness in our country and around us. And just to know that, you know, there's more loveliness around than bitterness and all those things. And whatever is commendable. When we do something that's commendable, we do something that makes a difference. And I love that. If there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. And it got me thinking, why do you think Paul said this? I mean, Paul got blinded on the road to Damascus. He got wonderfully saved and became this amazing apostle. And he'd been around the block a couple of times, thinking great things, thinking not so great things, doing not so great things as well. But Paul says this because of the simple truth that God thinks these same thoughts about you. He always has. He always will. He constantly is thinking about you. You might not always be thinking about God, but he's always thinking about you. If we go to Psalm 139, how many of you love that? Is this your favorite psalm? Why is Psalm 139 so important? Because what Psalm 139 does in essence, and I really love this, it simply speaks about a meditative spirit that we need to have about how great and how good God is in our life. See, if you just have that one thought every day that keeps reoccurring, part of that 90%, that God is good, God is great, God is able, man, your whole life, not just your thought life, will change. Amen? But if you look at the two things that jumps out in Psalm 139, because it speaks about how wonderful you are made, that you are fearfully and wonderfully made in God's image. Wow, that says volumes already, just in that. But verse 2 says, you know when I sit down and when I rise up, you discern my thoughts from afar. Before you've even thought them, God knows them. Hallelujah. That speaks about his omnipresence. One of the characteristics of God, he's omnipresent. The Bible says you can run as far as you like. You'll never be able to run away from God. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Nothing. Because he's omnipresent. Even in the darkness and the dark times of your life, he's there. Psalm 139, verse 17 and 18. I love this. Out of the Living Bible, it says, how precious it is, O Lord, to realize that you are thinking about me constantly. I can't even count how many times a day your thoughts turn towards me. And when I wake up in the morning, you're still thinking of me. Wow, isn't that an awesome scripture? See, if you look at that in essence, it speaks about omniscience. God is all knowledgeable. God knows everything. And we think about things that we wouldn't want to see happen in our lives. And we know that God will make a way where there seems to be no way. But we can't get our heads around it most of the time. But if you can remember this one thing and think this every single day, God's presence is around me all the time. God's knowledge of me, he knows me. He knows when I wake up. He knows when I take a step in the wrong direction. Even he knows. Man, and when I look at this, I realize that our thought life is a lot more important and on the priority list than it is at the moment. So I want to challenge you this morning just with 4 points about your thought life. First of all, point number one, we select our thoughts. The truth is, you choose what to think about. How many of you have chosen your birthday? Did you choose when? Did you choose your siblings? Some of us like other siblings. I don't know. But, you know, there's lots of things that you can't choose. The one thing that you have total dominion over are your thoughts. They're yours, not anyone else's. Is there a funny little man in your head thinking on your behalf? No. There are some other dynamics which I'll share in a little while, okay? But ultimately, you choose to do the things you do because you chose to do what? Think about it first, right? So when a particular thought hits you in that moment, you get to choose, do I let this thought in or not? It's your choice. It's almost like this picture I get of a nightclub or whatever. So, sorry, I'm not allowed to say that in church. But you know, when you get to the door, there's these big oaks. Have you seen them? These bouncers, okay? And I mean, they're scary dudes, okay? So you don't want to go inside if you're not allowed to go inside, because they'll bounce you right out. And when you get inside and you misbehave, cray for your yammer, okay? But in the same way, it's a good analogy, because in the same way, you are the doorkeeper. You are the bouncer of your mind. Why? Because you get to decide what you let in and what you chuck out. Come on, church. Isn't that just something to hold on to this morning if you're really battling with living a life that's not as victorious as it could be? Proverbs 4, verse 23. Oh my goodness, I love the scripture. Be careful what you think, because your thoughts run your life. Can we read that again? And I want you to really read this. Be careful what you think about, what you let into your life, because your thoughts run your life. In other words, you are what you think about. Which leads us to Proverbs 23:7. For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So that first part of verse 23. What does it say? In other words, choose wisely, church. You get to choose your thoughts. You get to be the final say over what you think about. So here's the reality. If you think dumb thoughts, you'll have a dumb life. If you think godly thoughts, you should have a good godly life. It's as simple as that. Because what you're thinking about is the difference between choosing wisely or foolishly. Our problem is, church, we don't choose our thoughts ourselves. Hello? Who chooses our thoughts for us? Social media? Philosophy? TV? The books you read? Your role models? The people you look up to? All those influences start where first? In your mind. You need to choose to think correctly more often. I'm going to put it out there. You need to think more correctly more often. In other words, we are way too passive with our thoughts. Ah, they just passed by. Ah, I just thought that. It's just a fleeting thought. Then why entertain it? Why run with it? Wow. We need to be more intentional what we think about. Why? Because your thoughts control your life. Do you agree? Your thoughts control your life. Because everything you do started with you thinking about it. Your thoughts control your life, but you control your thoughts. Say that again. Your thoughts control your life, but you control your thoughts. We therefore need to choose our thoughts better. When you don't choose your thoughts correctly, simple truth, you're going to make a lot of bad choices in your life. That will lead to destruction. It's as simple as that. So what am I saying here? You need to take stronger control of your thought life. Otherwise, the devil will continue to steal, kill, and destroy from you and your life. John 10, verse 10. What does he come and steal? Okay? He steals the promises that are spoken over your life. He steals the joy that you have in knowing him. He comes to kill your dreams. The promises and plans that God has for you. He tells you, you'll never amount to that. You'll never get there. And ultimately, when he's got you in a place where your thoughts have sunk so low, he'll ultimately destroy your life. That's what the devil does. One of the biggest threats on our planet, besides global warming, is pollution. Agree with that? Okay, there's a lot of pollution out there, a lot of stuff that washes up on our beaches. I took that walk and I saw stuff. I won't even begin to tell you what I saw washed up on that beach. And it's made me think, wow, people are so irresponsible with looking after our planet. But the same goes for our minds. Our minds get polluted every single day. They really do. There's a lot of stuff in this world that shouldn't be in our minds. Lots of stuff. But you let them in because you chose to think about it. The key question that we always need to ask ourselves when we think about what we are thinking about is simply this. Should I be thinking about this right now? Come on. There are other things. There are greater things. There are bigger promises. Bigger fish to fry. But yet the devil keeps us down there thinking about things we shouldn't be thinking about. What are the things that you shouldn't be thinking about? How about this one? Worry? How many of us worry? Fear? Oh, we don't get fearful, do we? Obsessive? Did I switch the kettle off? I'm 100 kilometers away from home. Did I switch the kettle? I don't know. Maybe I did. Should I phone the neighbor? I phoned my neighbor once because I left the fireplace on and I thought the house is going to burn down. No. But we think about those things. We get obsessed with our thoughts, but mostly on the negative side. Confusion. Any one of us confused? Do we get confused at any given time in the day? And the big one, the big D, discouraged. You see, when you think the right things, when you believe the right things, you're not going to be discouraged. You'll be encouraged. We sang about that this morning. Cynthia shared about that this morning. So nobody's forcing you to think these kind of thoughts. It's your choice. We select our thoughts. You are the master of your thought life. Number two. So if you select your thoughts and you're not thinking so like a church, what do? We change what we think about. Where does the change start? Up here, right? Change starts in your mind, not in your behavior. Hello? Oh, if I just change my behavior, no, wrong way around. Change your thoughts first. Because if your thoughts are right, you'll behave correctly. If your thoughts are wrong and not so lacquer, you're not going to end up in a nice place. Your behavior always comes as a result of what you think. I love this. Somebody once said, change starts in your cerebellum, not in your circumstances. Change happens here, not out there. Wow, think about that for a moment. Change comes from the inside, not from the outside. How many times have you tried to change your lives by changing your behavior? Very quiet in here. You don't start changing behavior. You start changing your thinking. Come on. The Bible says And our next scripture in Romans 12, verse 2, this is really one of the key scriptures when it comes to our thought life. It says simply, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but rather be transformed through the complete change, the renewing of your mind. You see, if you think the same old things, you're going to get the same old results. If you want to change, think new. Think outside of the way you always think. And this is what happens, you see. If you look at the scripture, okay, there's two words that pop up. What's the first one? Conformed, right? What does conformed mean? It simply means doing what everyone else says and does. See, if you conform to a certain pattern, what's a pattern? It happens all the time. Same old, same old, same old. Church, you've got to break the thinking patterns of your minds. Because that's only the only way it's going to change your life and bring you to a place of victory in Christ Jesus. Second word, transformed. Oh, I love it. Thinking and doing things differently. Thinking and doing things differently. Because you allow God to change your thought life. By doing what? Breaking the pattern and giving you a new one. How many of you want a new thought life? How many of you are tired of the way you've been thinking for these last couple of years as a Christian? Or this last week because nothing's worked out at work. Nothing's worked out at home. Start thinking differently, church. I want you to look up. I'm going to challenge you to start looking up. Set your mind on things above, the word says. Stop sinking in your thinking and rise above the worldly thought pattern that so easily consumes you. So here's the truth, church. The devil has one aim and one aim alone. He wants to control your thoughts. Remember what I said? Who controls your thoughts? You do. Not the devil. Because when he controls your thoughts, he gets in and he's able to reap havoc in your life by controlling your actions. You see, it's almost like you're driving your Toyota Christianese car, okay? And yeah, you're driving it, you're in the driving seat, but the devil's somewhere there as a passenger, okay? And he keeps telling you where to go, what to do, what to press at what time, you know, the hooter, your anger, die meter, okay, I won't say it, okay? And you know, you huck out sometimes in your car of life for obvious reasons. But you see, the devil is only concerned with sinking your thinking. He can tell you things, but until you move from the driving seat and you let him drive, you're in control. If you give up that control, we all know what happens to our lives, don't we? Because if Jesus is not in the driving seat, the devil is. And you've got to get to that place where you start thinking way beyond all those things that he's trying to tell you, the devil. Because he's only concerned with lying to you. He's got no other power but to lie. He had no power in the Garden of Eden over Eve. He deceived her. Same with Peter. Same with Judas. Same old pattern. Matthew 5 verse 8 says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. I love the Message Bible here. Okay? It says, you're blessed when you get your inside world, your mind and your heart put right. Then you can see God in the outside world. Come on, church. Isn't that an awesome translation? Wow. Get your mind and your heart put right through better thinking. You see, then you'll be able to look at that outside world from an inside perspective with the proper thoughts and say, I can do all things. I know who I am in Christ Jesus. Wow. Satan is the master of deceit. Has been for centuries and centuries and centuries. But the good news is, he's not the master of your mind. You are.
Wow.
He might be the master of deceit, but he's not the master of your mind. So, where does that lead us to next? Point number three. Identify the lies that you believe. Because you believe lies every day, don't we? Your words and your actions reveal the narratives that you tell yourself. How do you figure out whether a narrative is true or not? Do you know? Because if it's marked by fear, it's not true. If it's marked by insecurity, pride, bitterness, or defeat, it's not true. Is your thought life leading you to be cynical, proud, self-serving, arrogant? Not good thoughts, church. Never going to get you anywhere. If that's the narrative you're telling yourself, you need to adjust it. You need to address it. You need to change it. See, when you can identify where and when you began believing a lie, it'll be easier to change the way you think. Some of us believe the lie that God is good. Okay? He is good, of course he is. But then you don't believe that God is great. God is able to do exceedingly abundant. You put God in your own image. You're made in his image. But why put God in your own image by limiting him to work in your life? Come on. We do that all the time through thinking, thinking that keeps us down there and not walking in victory. Wow. So what do we need to do? We need to start declaring more. What's true? I remember many years ago when I was at the Hatfield Christian Church, we went through a course called the Leadership Training School, an amazing time of just renewing, refreshing, and restoring. And it had a lot to do with looking back at your past and the trauma that you had gone through and just helping you to deal with the things, very much like Encounter. And I remember having to declare over and over again what was true in my life rather than what wasn't. You see, what happened is that as I was growing up, all that I ever heard from my father and from people around me, okay, was, and especially teachers, I think that's why I became a teacher, so I wouldn't do this, was that I'd be destined to be a failure. I would never amount to anything. And this was echoed by my father's words over and over again when he used to say to me, "Ach nee man, jy's net stupid," or "Hey, why are you doing that thing? Huh? That's not a manly thing to do." Whatever. Man, I'm telling you, I got very mixed up as I was growing up in terms of my thought life. But the truth is, for every lie, there is a truth that can replace that lie, right? For every lie, there is a truth. And those truths can be found through the Holy Spirit's illumination of the Word of God. Ask God, show me, Lord. Show me the things about me that I need to know and need to hear. You need to create a mental space and allow the Holy Spirit to clearly show you how he sees you and what he has in store for your life. And I remember declaring those things over my life at that course, and my life changed radically as a result. And I've been thinking differently ever since. Overriding that God loves me, God cares for me, and God's got a plan for my life. Amen. Proverbs 14 verse 12. There are many ways that we think are right, but they lead to death. Are you thinking down a dead end? Or you thinking breakthrough, victory, and abundant life? What happens, church? We take on the self-destructive behavior in believing the lies. You see, if you believe a lie, your life will self-destruct. It's not going to explode into something beautiful. It's going to implode into something that's going to sink you day in and day out. You see, The problem with the devil is he's a roaring lion. He seeks somebody to devour. He's a defeated foe. The truth of the matter is, teeth were knocked out at Calvary 2,000 years ago. All he can do is numb you to death. Come you to death, sorry. Huh? You can't devour you, he can't bite you. Okay? That's called deceit. He'll come and sow things into your mind to get you to believe something, because he can't touch you otherwise. So he wants to get into your mind. So if you look at it in this way, we've got lots of fish money in this church. And I love to fish as well. You see, Satan knows just how to prepare that hook and that line to catch you. The hook is sin, right? That's the hook. And he knows how to put that bait in such a way that he gets you to bite. The bait is the attractive way he covers and presents lies to you to get you to bite. I got a good friend, Mark, and we catch fish together from time to time. And Mark spends about 5 minutes baiting up his hook, and he knocks the chocker, and he puts it around the sardine, and he makes like a little snit at the end. I call me two tentacles when he chocker. It looks like a tail, and he gets his cord, and he meticulously winds it around, and he holds it up, and after about 5-6 minutes, there's this perfectly baited piece of bait for the right fish he wants to get. Soyuz was in the water 10 minutes before that already. Just hoid some bait together and chucked it in. Mark's in for like a minute. I call me the first. I'm still waiting in the water. Nothing's biting my bait. Why? Because my bait's not attractive. Is your bait attractive to the devil? Think about that for a moment. What bait is he using on you? Do you know on a hook as well, they've got those little barbs at the bottom. You know why they're there? So that the fish can't come loose. Huh? And those barbs on the hook of sin that the devil wants to try and get you are all those things of, no. It's okay. If you do it, it'll be okay. Just stay there. Don't try and work your way out of it. It's okay. You're going to be fine. No, you won't get hurt if you do that. Wow. The bottom line is, and let's leave it at that, why buy the lie? I'm not going to get anything out of it. It's worthless. It's useless. Its currency means nothing. Last point. Are we okay for time? Like 5 minutes. Cool. You become what you believe. You become what you believe. If you turn in your Bibles to Matthew 9, verse 27 and 28, it's a story about the blind men. And Jesus approaches them. And they ask Jesus to heal them. If we can just read that. It says, as Jesus went on from there, two blind men followed him, calling out, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." When he had gone indoors, the blind men came to him and asked him. And he asked them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this? Do you believe I am able to do this?" "Yes, Lord," they replied. "Yes, Lord," they replied. You see, you become what you believe. Healthy thinking results in your healing. Healthy thinking results in your release from captivity. Healthy thinking releases you from thinking to victorious, God-filled thinking and experiences. I want you to think a little bit about this. You know, you can never change what happens to you. When some taxi cuts you off in the morning, it's happened. Nothing you can do about it. But you can change the way you think about it. Hello? It's always the taxi driver. My boss, he doesn't like me. My boss, he just does this all the time. It's not what your boss is saying. It's the way you think about him. Change the way you think about him and your circumstances will change. Come on. If anyone knows that, I do. I've had some bad bosses in my time. Sure. Isaiah 55, verse 8 to 9. Actually, one of my favorite scriptures. If you think about it holistically, church, God's ways are not your ways. Okay? As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are His thoughts higher than your thoughts, and His ways higher than your ways. Wow, think a little bit about that for a moment. Okay? The way you think isn't the way that God thinks. The way you work isn't the way that God works. I love it in the Message Bible. It says, "For as the sky soars above the earth, so the way I think surpasses the way you work, and the way I think is beyond the way you think." As human beings, we tend to make God in our own image, like I said. We have this picture and limitation of how He works, instead of allowing Him to be the unlimitless God that He is. God reminds us that He exists and thinks on a much different level to us. Human reasoning can't grasp the thought processes of God. Come on, somebody say amen to that. Human reasoning, your reasoning, your thinking cannot even begin to grasp what God thinks about you. And remember, He thinks about you constantly. You see, the truth is we're constantly in a war against sin, and its main battle is the battle for your mind. Romans 7, 22 and 23. "For my inner being, I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law within me." Wow. The power of believing a lie makes you a slave to that sin, which will stay and reside and want to live in you all the time. Here's something. Just because you have a thought does not mean you have to think it. Wow. That's where it starts, church. Just because you have a thought doesn't mean that you have to actually think it. 1 Peter 5 verse 8. I alluded to this earlier. Okay, next slide. Thanks, Bennett. "Be alert and of sober mind, because your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for somebody to devour." Remember, he can't bite you. He just wants to swallow you by telling you lies. You were created in His image. And now you start to think, "Oh, I don't like the way I look. Maybe I should change. Maybe I wasn't born, I'm not fitting my body." That's a lie. That's a lie of the devil, because you are made in His image. He didn't make a mistake when He created you. It's the devil trying to tell you that you're not who you really are. Wow. You see, the weapons of our warfare are totally different as well. "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedience to Christ." What do we do with those thoughts that are not of God? Those thoughts that you have control over? You simply take them captive. What is a stronghold? It's a mental block. That's what a stronghold is. It's just a lie that you perpetually believe. The false thing that you believe about yourself. The lies you believe about your circumstances. Even the lie that you believe about who God is or who God isn't. The good news for you today, Romans 8, verse 6. "So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and to peace." Amen. Come on, church. We need the Holy Spirit to illuminate the truth that He's spoken through His Word, that He brings through His Holy Spirit and lays on your heart. You know when your thinking is not right because you sense it so strongly. Take captive every thought. Make it obedient to Christ. Let's move away from our sinking thinking to victorious thinking that leads to victorious living. You are the master of your thought life. The devil is the master of deceit. Today is the day that he stops deceiving you. Today is the day that he stops telling you lies. Today is the day that you stop believing them. Come on.